Sisters and my brothers, as usual, it took me a while to figure out what to say in the morning's homily, and the problem was the text assigned. I mean, hey, I thought that for a Wednesday of a theological symposium on Lutheran confessional identity, at least I could have expected was a text from the real part of the Bible, you know, Romans or Galatians. Well, as always, it's into the text. And then, as is so often the case, the unexpected answer to the question is right there. Our identity as Lutherans. Who are we? How shall we think of ourselves? How shall we think of one another? The answer, as I quipped on the fly to Brother Dean Nattesty on the way into the chapel, is in an adjective, a single word. Beloved. And this single word then will be the theme for this morning's message, beloved, and there will be two things to say about it. As you know, beloved is one of the beloved disciples' favorite words, six times in this first letter, and it is this word which gives you and every Lutheran and every Christian their identity. This word, beloved, reveals in the first place that God has created an identity for you. That's the first thing to know, and it is the cause and the source and the foundation of the second thing, as a matter of fact. God has created this identity for you. This word, beloved, signals who you are, and it signals that the key to your identity and mine is that someone else is active. Beloved drags along with it an agent. If I'm beloved, it means that somebody else is doing the loving. This is true in English and in Greek. Beloved wife, beloved books, the old phrase, our beloved synod. You can hear it. The beloved thing, the beloved person has been loved. Someone else has loved you. And that's just right. John proclaims love is from God. God is the source, the doer, the lover. He loves the world. He loves you. And that's pretty good. But it gets better. God's love is not a feeling. It's not internal. It's not hidden. God's love appears, John says. It is manifested. You don't have to wonder or guess about your identity. Love becomes evident. You know that you are beloved because of something that happened, John says. Something that happened among us, right here in our midst, right here in our flesh and blood world. God sent his one and only, his unique Son for a purpose, that through him we might live. Well, it just keeps getting better. How strong is this love of God? Well, apparently, the people whom God has loved through the sending of the Son were, apart from that sending, dead. Because we don't live except through him. And so God even loved people who were dead, who couldn't respond, who were not aware of him, and who offered him nothing. God loved dead people into life. It gets even better. The apostle writes, this is love, not that we loved God. That's not the focus. That's not the source of your identity. It's not your love for God, but this is love, he writes, that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's love is so strong that he didn't only love dead people into life. He loved his enemies. He loved people who deserved his wrath. And God turned aside his own wrath by turning it toward the cross, toward Jesus. Jesus has propitiated God, turned aside God's holy wrath by taking it into his own body. This is what he did. This is who he is, the propitiation for our sins. And that makes you and me his beloved. This is who we are, freely given. This we believe, we confess, and in this we rejoice. And this is the first thing to say about you, beloved. God has created this identity for you. And now here's the second thing, and really the obvious. It's really quite obvious. It's not hard. God has freely given this same identity to your sister, to your brother. And he calls upon us to act accordingly. Dearly loved ones, deal with one another as dearly loved ones. Beloved, let us love one another. It's simple. It's not exactly rocket science. It's kind of like the flow of clear, life-giving water from its source to its destination. God has loved me. Love flows into me. Love flows out from me to you. Piece of cake. Now we come to the problem. Now we come to the denial of God's word. Now we find ourselves running away from our identity. Because the flow gets interrupted, there's something clogging the line. Because the love doesn't always flow that well, does it, around here in our church? Have you ever had the occasion to unclog a sink? You know, that trap underneath the sink is where stuff accumulates, and you don't know it's there really, but it's just this stuff, and it accumulates. And when you go to actually removing that clog, what you find there actually is a mass of filth that is almost unspeakable. Even if you're very careful after you take it out, you have to wash your hands very thoroughly. And sometimes, if it's a big clog, you have to wash your pants and your shirt and your shoes and your socks. Beloved, there are lots of things that can clog the flow of love, lots of different kinds of filth. Today, we will dislodge one particular kind: filthy speech. And I don't mean dirty words. I mean filthy speech by which we deny our brothers, our sisters' identity as God's beloved. And in so doing, we call our own identity into question as well. Filthy words that accuse and blame without understanding all of the facts or even asking whether this is any of my darn business at all. Evil words that paint a false picture, placing the worst construction on everything. Words that despise, that label, that reject, that assassinate the beloved of God. It doesn't matter if the beloved is colleague and peer, teacher or student, pastor or layperson, near or far. Gossip, half-truth, complaining, whining, pettiness, jealousy, and anger. Words flow out, and they stick, and they hurt the beloved, and they cripple us. It's easy, it's quick, and it seems so small. It's only a small flame, but James tells us it is the fire of hell that can scorch our fellowship until the parched Western United States looks like paradise in comparison. How dare we speak like that? Who do we think we are? Good question. Who do we think we are? Good question. There's the answer. There's the freedom. So please, beloved, do not be afraid right now. Right now, God is turning me and you away from the lie. He is turning your back on such filthy speech. So don't be afraid. Turn away from the lie and hear the word of your identity, beloved. God calls you beloved. In that identity, there is freedom. There is freedom to call sin, sin, because we will not be destroyed. When our sin is exposed, we will not be destroyed. God sent his Son as the propitiation for your sins. Beloved, in that identity, there is freedom to repent. And there is freedom to live and to begin anew. Because you are, in fact, his beloved. He sent his Son for you. And he will always take us back. 1 John 3, see what sort of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. One day, on that day, our identity will be complete and evident to us all. We will love him. We will love one another exactly as he has loved us. But until that day, you are his beloved. And by the power of that identity, we can actually love one another. By the power of his love in Christ, we can hold our tongues, season our speech, speak words of purity and encouragement that reach out and build one another up. As the Father sent the Son to love the world, so he sends us to love one another. It's not so hard. It's kind of an identity thing. Beloved, let us love one another. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.